Good day and welcome to Nova's Business Report on the Market Watch. With me today, I have Cheryl Mvula from First Rand. Thank you very much, Cheryl, for talking to me. And we are going to start by talking about the recent announcement by Fitch. So that's on the 23rd of May. They have affirmed Namibia's sovereign rating at BB-, if I've got it correct, with a stable outlook. What are some of the main items that they've highlighted in their review?
In their review, they illustrated some of the risks that have existed in the economy. Basically, the one main issue was on low fiscal revenue generations expected this year. One of the issues that we have, and it's been a problem for the last 2 years, is the diamond sector is going through a transitional phase. So the government is expected to generate a lot less revenue from the diamond industry, and that being a pillar of one of its revenue generators, it will cause a bit of a concern. Another issue that they highlighted is specifically around the SACU payments. SACU receipts are expected to drop by 20% this year, and that accounting for 30% of the revenue will cause a bit of fiscal strain for the government. And as a result of that, the government will probably have to go into the market and borrow a lot more money than it did in the previous year or the previous last 2 years.
So before we get to the new debt to be issued, Fitch have indicated that their growth forecast is around 3.8%, right? What is government saying?
As you said, they expect the government the GDP figures to grow by 3.8%. This is in line with basically most estimates. Estimates range from about 3 on the low end to about 3.8 on the high end. Bank of Namibia says 3.8%. They're in line with Moody's. The one issue is that the government, the Ministry of Finance, have illustrated that they expect growth this year to grow by 4.5%, a much larger number than any of the consensus views. And if that number won't do, because they use those numbers to model their revenue generation, their borrowing needs and all that stuff. So if that number won't come to fruition, then as a result of that, they will likely have to revise their growth forecast down. They would have to revise the revenue forecast down. And as a result of that, they would have to increase their deficit number, because they spend more than they generate in revenue. And that's where the real issue comes for them.
Yeah. Okay, so with the budget, the government has indicated that they would like to see a debt to GDP of around 62%. So that's inclusive of the guarantees provided. But you say that we are maybe looking, as a result of the lower SACU revenues, of an increased domestic issuance. What are we talking about in numbers?
Okay, so just in terms of numbers, when we got the budget in March, oh, February, actually it was March. We got an illustration of what the government wanted to borrow from locally. The government can either borrow money from the local market or borrow from external markets, from external bond issuers, like example, the Eurobond that we have maturing at the end of the year. So initially they anticipated that they would only borrow around 17 billion from the local market. Subsequently to that, we got numbers from Bank of Namibia, who are the custodians for the government with regard to financing, and they illustrated that they needed to borrow around 21.1 billion. So a 4 billion increase on that number already. So there's already a increase of the domestic requirement. So because of that fact, we do expect that we do think that numbers are tilted on the low end, and there's risk, especially from the deficit perspective, that number will increase more, which is quite shocking because of the fact that domestically we're required to borrow more this year than we did even during COVID, which will be a huge financing need.
Okay, so before we get to the impact on the yields and the interest expense, maybe just clarify that the 17 billion initially thought of and now an increased amount of 21 billion, this is on a net basis. So it assumes that all the debt, like with the treasury bills and all of that, will be rolled.
100%. So this is, if the government has borrowed 100 million, I think the actual number, the total debt that exists in the system right now is around 117 billion, but they expect to put that on top of that. So that's what the issue is. So if your economy isn't growing fast enough, then your debt to GDP ratio actually starts to move up compared to what it was. We had a period of high growth over the last 3 years, and that's why we've seen, and also we had a bit of fiscal consolidation over the last 3 years as well. And that's why we've seen the debt to GDP ratio come down as a result of that. But we're slowly shifting gears into an expansionary fiscal policy. You can see that there's a lot of promises with regards to what has to be spent. And as a result of that, that's why we think that the risks are tilted to the upside compared to from a debt to GDP perspective.
Okay, let's quickly talk about the interest expense as a percentage of either revenue or expenses. Mm-hmm. So in the US, Moody's have now downgraded, they were the last rating agency to downgrade the US government. Mm-hmm. So they're not on AAA anymore. And one of their reasons in the US were also fiscal slippage. And then what is the interest expense in the US as a percentage of their budget? It's about their second largest expense.
Yeah, so it's their second largest expense. Yeah, I do not know the as a percentage, but they do spend more, for example, on interest expense right now than they do on their military, which is, unfounded.
It is. Okay, so in Namibia, we've also got a high percentage. So interest expense for the government as a percentage of total expenses is around?
It's around 12.9%.
So almost 39%
of revenue. Our revenue is much higher. It's around 15%. So, and that's kind of the problem is that especially if you're borrowing quite a lot of money, that you're spending a certain large proportion just to pay off revenue. That's not productive in any way. You're just basically just handing it over to investors so you can't build roads and hospitals and all that type of stuff. So that's where some of the risk lie.
Yeah. So if we're expecting that our third biggest revenue source being SACU revenue dropped by about 20%, and with the US being downgraded, maybe just explain to our listeners the impact of that on various governments around the world. I mean, all of their debts will now, as a result, also become more expensive.
Yeah, I don't think I have to explain any further. I think you hit the nail on the head. But essentially, it's the US is the reserve currency of the world. Everyone borrows and trades in US dollars, and it's basically the bedrock of the financial markets. So when you look at the U.S. Government bonds, government yields, it's basically the risk-free rate in the U.S., which is the least risky asset, but has subsequently been downgraded. But due to the fact that the bedrock of the risk-free asset is starting to be downgraded and you see interest rates move up, you would expect that interest rates across the globe to move up in the same manner. We've seen that in a lot of the advanced economies, Japan specifically, their interest rates have moved up from about 0% to about 4%, which is extremely concerning for a country that has around 250% debt to GDP. But we do expect that if that were to happen, you will see a relative play with asset managers or allocators of capital, where historically you would only lend to the US at about 0% or 1%, depending on the time of the year. They can generate now 5% risk-free. The Namibian government, the number's around 11% and has been basically that over the last couple of years. It spiked up during COVID, naturally because of the risk around emerging markets. But now you can see that the relative play between Namibia and, example, a US or a Japan is starting to shrink. So you would naturally start to see people allocate less money to that area just to generate a higher return on hard currency, because getting 5% in US dollars is a pretty good return as it stands.
Exactly. But I mean, as you now say, Japan with a debt to GDP of over 200%, whereas ours is around 62%. I mean, their level of interest rates are just far lower than ours. So I would think that in Japan, their interest expenses, a percentage of total expenses, are far lower.
Yeah, so that is correct. And they've been able to be, and that's why you see the debt to GDP move up, is because they've been able to borrow for so low. But they have a situation where inflation is starting to kick out. And basically, when you lend in an economy, Japan has suffered from deflation over the last couple of years, or last two decades, excuse me. And that's why they've been able to keep interest rates so low. Namibia and South Africa don't have the same kind of dynamics. So people always want to generate money above the inflation rate. And that's why you can see the interest expense as a percentage of Japan specifically, interest expense as a percent of their expenditures quite low. But as these interest rates move up, that number will naturally also start to move up.
Also increase. Okay, so that's all that we've got time for today. I mean, those countries have got different problems, especially Japan with their low birth rate. But maybe on another day, we can delve into first world problems. Thank you very much for talking to me, Cheryl.
Thank you so much.